I say, praise the Almighty Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Everything this morning is pointing to the cross of Christ. Shall we pray, please? In Jesus' name. Almighty Father, we bless you. We appreciate you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, even for bringing us here this morning. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Ask, O Lord, that you change us from your word, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Begin to replace every heart of stone, O Lord, to that of flesh, O Lord, in Jesus' name. That your word will fall in that fertile ground, O Lord, that we bring the good out of it in Jesus' name. Father God Almighty, we don't want to be teachers nor hearers alone. Father, we ask for the grace to be doers of your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
So this morning, we'll be looking at the blessings from Calvary. Blessings from Calvary. You know, what happened in Calvary is a very significant event in the life of every believer. You know, we can imagine what happened on the Good Friday. That was the peak of it. You know, if we want to appreciate it more, there's no word that can even explain what happened. But because of the grace, we are made to understand and we are made to believe what happened. We have to accept the blessings from Calvary. We have to forgive ourselves and accept the blessing that come from it. So this morning, we'll quickly look at some of the blessings. We all know the blessing, but we are going to lay emphasis on some. You know, we cannot talk about the blessings of Calvary without talking about the cost. We all know what happened in Calvary. In Calvary, that was where the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took place, you know, to open doors of blessings to us and to give us back what we have lost to Adam. And to bring us back to God, to reconcile us to God, you know. Therefore, Calvary stands as the basis for our hope that Jesus paid the price of our redemption and he paved way for us to enjoy all that Jesus have, you know, everything that belongs to Jesus. So this period of time is not a period that we should be carried away with the activities surrounding Easter. We should be sober and vigilant and focus on the cross of Christ, because if we look at it really, it was not an easy task, but we thank God that he humbled himself even to the death on the cross. Let's quickly open our Bibles to the book of Luke 22, chapter 23 verse 33. If you are there before me, you can read Praise the Lord. There in Calvary, you know, Christ died for our sake. You know, he died a shameful and painful death. You know, he was even numbered among the thieves, among the criminals. That is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For our sake, you know, God offered eternal life for us through Jesus Christ. You know, he offered life for humanity through the death of his only begotten Son. That his death will give us life. You know, it's a very powerful thing for God to do, but he did it for our sake. That's why there's a saying that says that, you know, when we know what God has done for us through Christ, and we refuse to accept it, and we go in our own way, people tend to say that we crucify Jesus again. I pray that we stop crucifying him again, that we just live and accept the one that he has done for us. You know, when we hear and read about what he has done, most of us we watch the movie, The Passion of Christ. It's a very powerful movie, and we all shed tears most of the time. I remember when I watched it back in those days, you know, everybody in the hall, everybody was crying, including the elderly people. So I just look at it and say, Lord, this is what you did for our sake. So That is why it's very important for us as a child of God, every time we should always reflect at the cross of Christ. So this morning we are going to look at the number one blessing. You know, we have redemption through the blood, you know. The redemption here is simply the act of redeeming, recovering, and reclaiming, restoring. He came to redeem man back to God and break the wall, you know, the platform between man and God. You know, he came through, this, all this came through the blood of Jesus. Let's quickly look at Ephesians 2:14. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. We are talking about the redemption through the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. The summary of where we have read is that his cross was our unity. We are no longer stranger to God. He redeemed us back to the Father. And we are part of his beautiful temple, which Christ is our cornerstone. That is the power in the blood of Jesus. You know, number two, we gain forgiveness through his blood. You know, we have forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus. The same Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Forgiveness through the blood of Jesus.
In him we have redemption, that is deliverance and salvation through his blood, the remission, that is forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor.
Praise the Lord. You know, we receive forgiveness of our sin through his blood. You know, ours is to believe that we are forgiven. We not allow the devil to play or to toy with our mind. We just take the guilt off our mind and accept the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Jesus. You know, he said we know the truth, and the truth will make us free. You know, all these gifts, they are free, but I can tell you they are not cheap. As we go, we see the reason why they are not cheap. You should just accept the forgiveness that comes from the blood of Jesus. Accept the price he paid for you, and he set you free. You should not look back. You know, the devil is very, you know, he's very funny. He always likes to bring us back to our old way. He likes to remind us of what we are not doing well. God has forgiven us. Ours is to press forward toward the mark of Jesus Christ. You know, we have hope of eternal life through his blood. You know, we have hope. You know, by the reason that Jesus Christ died, and on the third day he was risen. So that is the hope that we have. There's hope from the risen Lord, you know, through his death on the cross of Calvary, that there's hope for every man. That if there's restoration, without restoration, our faith will be in vain. You know, during this period, you know, the bottom line of our hope here is that by the reason of the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, our hope is being renewed in him. You know, if he just died like that, and he was not, you know, and what the Bible has said concerning him, that on the third day that he's going to be resurrected, then everything we are talking about will be in vain. Even there will be no basis for Christianity. There will be no basis for what we are talking about. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Ours is just to accept it. Let's quickly look at Hebrews 13:20-21. We are talking about hope of eternal life through his blood. Hebrews 13:20-21. Praise the Lord. You know, we have an everlasting covenant with him because of what he has done for us on the cross. We have forgiveness through his blood, redemption. We have hope of eternal life. And the Bible makes us understand that we are also heir of God and co-heir with Jesus. Let's quickly look at Galatians 3:13-14. Galatians 3:13-14. Praise the Lord. through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, he died for us so that we could, you know, those things that we cannot do for ourselves, he did it for us. And, you know, he removed the curse that is upon us so that we'll be able to receive the benefits, you know, the benefit of God. You know, if there is sin in our life, if there is a barrier, we'll not be able to have access to God. We'll not be able to receive blessings. We'll not be able to receive anything. He said we are co-heirs, you know. We have the same inheritance with our Lord Jesus Christ through the blood on the cross. Say we have grace through his blood, you know. By the shedding of his blood on the cross, we receive grace to come boldly to the throne of grace. We all remember during the New Testament era, you know, the high priest only go to the holies of holies maybe twice in a year, and he made sacrifice for the sins of the people then. But by the reason of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, we have received grace that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. Let's look at Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. See, Christ became our high priest and offered himself as a perfect sacrifice. You know, he is the perfect sacrifice. We don't need the high priest to go to intervene to intercede or to see God's face on our behalf. We can go boldly to the throne of grace, you know. And if you look at the book of Matthew 27:51, can we quickly go there? Matthew 27:51. Are we there? Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from the top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rock were splitted. You know, at that hour that Jesus is going, you know, at that hour he went. So that is it. The veil, you know, in the temple turned into two and gave us entrance so that we're able to have access, you know, to the grace that God has given us. Then we can go boldly to his presence. That's why I always tell people that it's not good for us to be repenting every time, that we should always be in the attitude of prayer so that we can be able to go boldly to the throne of grace, because we don't know. Nobody is aware of the evil days, so that's why we have to be right with him, so that we can lift up our hand to receive his grace. And through his blood, we receive healing, you know, healing through his blood, you know, we receive divine healing. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who himself bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, having dead to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripe you were healed. You know, we are talking about the healing that Christ himself has purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. You know, Christ has given us divine healing. We just need to accept the healing that God has given us and believe. You know, healing is like somebody putting money in the bank and you don't go to the bank to collect your money. Christ, we have been healed. You know, we said by his stripes we are healed. Healing, you know, he has done it 2,000 years ago for us. Ours is to believe and tap on the healing that he has given to us. You know, if we have money in the bank and we don't go there to have access on it, even if we need the money, we have to still go there and access and, you know, do whatever we want to do to have access. So God has already healed us, you know. And just like I said before, we all know that there are a lot of blessings that come from the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, and we know it was not an easy yoke. You know, just like I said, you know, having known all these things, that, you know, through the blood of Jesus we have redemption, we have forgiveness of sin, we have hope of eternal life, we have, you know, we are here and co-heir with Jesus Christ himself, and we know all these things, and we have the Bible where we can go to read it. But we refuse, you know, to reject the gift of salvation. You know, when we look at this, there are evidence, you know, even the people who are not non-Christian, you know, some people, they took it upon themselves to really study what happened, and facts are coming out. And even as a Christian, our manual is the Bible. We know all these things, and still we refuse and we reject the gift of salvation. It means we are doing what? We are crucifying him again, and which I don't think any of us want to do again, because shortly we are going to be looking at his last word. We know everything that he has given to us, they are free. But I can tell you, by the time we go through his last word, we know that they are not cheap. You know, when we begin to, you know, to train the word of God with, when we begin to treat the word of God with less importance, you know, when we don't even care anymore about the word of God, we are crucifying him again. You know, when we care for the things of the world more than the things of the kingdom, we are doing what? We are crucifying him again. You know, when we act in unbelief, Jesus said he has forgiven you, and you say, oh, I can't, I don't think I want to serve God because I still have to deal with this. No, he said you accept the forgiveness, you know, and move forward. You know, when we act in unbelief, God said we are healed, you know, we should accept it. You know, when we are neither cold nor hot, we are neither here or here, nobody can classify us as a follower of God. What are we doing? We are still crucifying him. You know, I want to stay neutral. I don't want my name to be mentioned. No, I don't want to stand up for God. No, we are still crucifying him. When you return back to your old ways, you know, the Bible says that, you know, that when we do those things that we say we don't want to do anymore, that we are sinners, you know. So I pray that God Almighty himself will help us so that at this period we'll be able to open our eyes to see what he went through for us through the cross of Calvary and accept the blessing that comes in. Just like I said before, Good Friday was the peak of it, and I can tell you that it was not easy. You know, we talk about the blessing is free for all generations, even those that are yet to be born, but it's not cheap. Can we quickly look at his last word when he was about to go? Those words, you can see that they are not cheap words, they are not vain words, they are words that are really powerful. So if we can quickly take ourselves through it, it will give us more, you know, tell us more about what we are talking. We are talking about the cross of Christ, his crucifixion, his suffering, his agony. So let's quickly look at his last word. The first one is in Luke 22:44. Can we project it? Luke 22:44. We are talking about his last word. See, these words, they are not cheap. They are not vain words. The words that you will say and you will be smiling. Luke 22:44, I read. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly that the sweat became like great drop of blood falling down to the ground. Is it cheap? It's not, but it's free. You know, Jesus was in extreme agony. He did not give up. You know, he went ahead with his mission. You know, some of us, we cannot even pray for 1 hour. I remember sometimes when I come for night vigil here, you know, by the time we start to pray, I'll be kneeling down. Said he prayed earnestly because of the agony for me and you. He was in agony, and he prayed that even the sweat, you know, that were coming out of him were like great drops of, you know, like blood. Can we see that it's not cheap, but it's free? Praise the Lord. Another one is Mark 15:34. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Praise the Lord. Let's look at it this way, you know. You know, as parents, we have obligations to our children. You know, this is the Almighty God. This is Jesus, our Savior, asking God, why have you forsaken me? How many of us, you know, when we feel lonely, when we feel that there's nobody around, when we are lonely, you know, I know the feeling. We all know. Can we appreciate it? Those are not cheap words. They are very expensive for the sake of me and you. He knew that the Father would forsake him because the moment he decided to take our burden upon himself, he knows, because God cannot behold iniquity. He knows that for a while that he will be separated from the Father. Those are his last words when he was in agony. Let's look at John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Praise the Lord. How many of us know the feeling when we are thirsty, when we are really thirsty, that we just need to drink something? Even sometimes when we want to drink some of this fizzy drink, until we drink water, you know the feeling when you are really panting for breath, when you are really panting for water, you know, something to take. Those are his last words. Everything that he has given to us, they are free, but they are not cheap. So that is why it's very important for us as a child of God that we should not crucify him anymore. Let's look at Luke 23:46. We're looking at his last word. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit." You know, after crying, you know that, well, this is it. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed down his head and gave up the ghost. Praise the Lord. You know, after all the suffering, you know, it is finished. Who can fathom the depth of that declaration? He said, "It is finished." That's why if you look at everything that we did this morning, they are all pointing to the cross. He said, "It is finished." All our suffering, all the sicknesses, everything that we worry about, he said, "It is finished." So can we see that every gift that God has given us, they are free, but they are not cheap because of what he went through for our sake. So it's very important for us to have all this one at the back of our mind, even at this period that we rejoice, you know, we are rejoicing, that we should not be carried away with the activities around, that we should still be sober and be vigilant and focused on the cross of Christ. You know, even as he has promised that, you know, that everything that has caused barrier between us, you know, and God, that he has bore everything on the cross. So we should focus on the cross of Christ this morning and look at what he has done for us. And that one will help us so that we not go back to our old ways, and it will help us so that we will not keep crucifying him again. You know, you don't want him to go through the punishment again. You should just accept it and take it the way it is. So this morning we have had everything, you know, the blessings, you know, we all know the blessings, and we know that the blessings are not cheap. So I just want us to stand up on our feet this morning, and we are going to worship God. You know, I'm going to be singing some choruses, and if you know, you can just go with me. I'm going to be worshiping him because of what he has done for us.
He is Lord, amen. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Amen. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. His name is higher than any other name. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. His name is that you are Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down, all tongue confess that He is Lord. Death and He is Lord. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, our Savior, of Thy name. It is not an ordinary name. It's a name that's full of power and grace. The name of Jesus. Them who are the mention of the name. Tis not an ordinary name. It's a name that's full of power and grace.
If you believe that the name of Jesus is a mighty name, begin to appreciate Him. Begin to appreciate Him. Begin to thank Him for what He has done for us. Even this period, ask God for the grace to appreciate what He went through. For you to appreciate what He went through on the cross of Calvary. Tell Him that you want to be focused on the cross of Christ. Appreciate God. Appreciate Him, because it is through Him that you can have all blessing. Every blessing that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead belongs to you. Appreciate Him for what He has done. Appreciate Him. Tell Him that you're not going to crucify Him again.
Glory, Jesus reigned. Glory, Jesus reigned. Glory, Jesus reigned. Jesus reigned in my life. Now I am forgiven. Now I am forgiven. Now I am forgiven. Jesus reigned in my life. Now I have a future. Oh yes. Now I have future. Now I have a future. Jesus reigns in my life. Now I am more than conqueror. Oh yes. Now I'm more than conqueror. Now I'm more than conqueror. Jesus reigneth in my life. Glory, glory, Jesus reigneth. Oh yes. Glory, Jesus reigneth. Glory, Jesus reigneth. Jesus reigneth in my life. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh yes. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus reigneth in my life. Oh, glory, glory, Jesus reigneth. Oh, yes. Glory, Jesus reigneth. Glory, Jesus reigneth. Jesus reigneth in my life. You are more than conqueror. Oh, I'm more than conqueror. Oh, yes. Now I'm more than conqueror. Now I'm more than conqueror. Because Jesus reigneth in my life. Just worship the Lord. Just give him all the glory. Because he reigns, he reigns, he reigns, he reigns. He reigns in my life. He reigns in my situation. He reigns in my home. He reigns in my work. He reigns in my health. He reigns wherever I am. Jesus reigns. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the benefit of Calvary. Thank you for that which you have done in our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for that redeeming love. We bless your name, O Lord. Thank you because you reign. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you because even during this time, we are going to live in the consciousness of that which you have done. Every barrier is broken. Every limitation is removed. Lord, every hindrance is destroyed. Lord, there is a new lease of life. There is a new lease of health. There is a bigger and brighter horizon in every life here this afternoon. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, because you reign. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.